So we've been hearing some great word. Great word. PK taught an awesome word last week. You guys been thinking on that any? You guys utilize it? Because that's what it's for, right? That's what it's for. So we've been talking about prayer a lot. And so how many of us are beginning to pray for one another? That's awesome, right? Right on, because there is a need in the church. And if we're always looking to fulfill the need that's in us, then we can miss out on the body. And so we don't want to disregard the body. We want to make sure that everybody receives what they're able to receive. So the prayer is important. And we have one that prayed for us more than anybody physically that we can even think about. So, you know, a lot of times we look at prayer and we look at it in this life alone. But the prayer is more than that, isn't it? We talk about the prayer, how we don't have to worry about praying wrong because we have who? Jesus Christ, right? Which is the mediator. And he can take our prayers and what we intended on saying to the Father. So check this out, because I was thinking about this morning. In John 17, starting at verse 19, because the whole thing is in John 17 is Jesus praying to the Father, right? Well, we'll start 17. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. So that sanctification is a separation, right? Are we being sanctified by the word of God when we hear it preached? Is it sanctifying us? Is it separating us? Is it separating us from darkness and light? Is it separating us from the wicked that we thought we were to the light, to the sons and daughters of God who we are? That's what it's doing, man. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone. So Jesus is saying, I'm not just praying for these disciples that are going to be apostles alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So is he praying for you and I? Is he praying for even the brothers and sisters that's going to come in the future? He's praying for us all. So if we could just step outside of ourselves and see that this is our destination. We were supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here because the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ has prayed for us to hear this word, to receive this word. And the word of God is so powerful that the word that we receive, that we believe in truth, when we speak it, it can cause others to hear that prayer or to receive that prayer. So it's not just for the salvation of me. It's for the salvation of the body of Christ and for whosoever will. So every opportunity that we have to hear the word of God, how important is it? On Monday, we talked about sometimes we could take the word of God lightly that we hear. And that's not a good thing. We want to be made aware that the word that we're listening to, that we're being included into, is eternal. This is an eternal work of God that he's doing for us. And he's prayed for it. So I love that because that puts us separate from the world, not the world out here, but the world that's in our heart, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, everything that tries to distract us away from the word of God. So God is separating us, from what we used to call us. You know, we used to say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I think. That's just what I do. But what if that's not you? What if it's not you? What if it's just thoughts that tricked us pretty much into us calling ourselves that. And through the word of God, he comes through and he separates it to show us that that's not who we are. We were never that. We were always sons and daughters of God. And we just have to continue in God and become who he called us to be. I think it's pretty awesome because that really does put all the work on him. And it takes it off of us about what do I have to do. You know, we talked about that John 6 and 28 and 29. You know, when they asked Jesus, you know, what shall we do to work the works of God? And he said, believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work. So when we believe on the word that's being delivered to us, he's actually the one that's doing the work. So if you think about it this morning, there may have been some people in here go, well, I don't really want to go to church today. You know, think of a million things you could be doing versus coming to church. But guess what? The word of God's been spoken. The Son of God is in you. The believer is in you. And he fights against that war, that mind that wants to war against it. So when we are doing the things that we're supposed to do, man, glory to God. Glory to God, because he put that in us to do it. Because if it was up to us alone, we'd fail. We'd fail. So God is doing the work. And we're only obedient because of what he put in us to be obedient. And I think that's pretty cool. Because if you look at us alone, what are we? We're nothing special. We're just men and women. But the word of God that's in us, the word of God that's in you, that's what's special. That's the light that he breathed in you and I. That's what's special. And I think that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Any questions before we continue or comments? If you do at any time, just raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. Okay. So last week, PK talked about the healing and the restoration of the mind. And he went into the demoniac. You guys remember that? He talked about the demoniac, how at first he was full of legions and, you know, many thoughts, many wicked thoughts. And Jesus cast out those thoughts from the demoniac, that at the end of the story, he was no longer a demoniac. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. So we read that. But I was thinking about how many times have we prayed to God? How many times have we come to church and we were not in our right mind? The right mind to hear the word of God. Whether we were thinking about Monday, because most people hate Mondays. So Monday, you're thinking about it and you think about the rest of the week because of work and this and that. What if we come to church with that just flooding in our thoughts, and the preach word of God that's intended on saving our souls is not heard because we're thinking about work, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about bills. Could we say that we're not in our right mind when we present ourselves almost like an imposter, huh? But God is helping us with that. He's helping to separate us with that, that when we come in the presence of God, that we come in our right mind, that we clear our mind from whatever distractions may be there so we can hear the preach word of God that's going forth. Very powerful, man. So when these things happen, and I think on Wednesday night we talked about Jesus healing us. And if you think about it, every time, because raise your hand if you've been healed by the word of God. Right on. So there's been a great work done for all of us. So after that healing was done, then we should not go back into the thing that was cast out of us, right? So when we look at it, we've been healed, like PK like to say, It's the sin-sick soul that needs the help, right? So when salvation comes and it heals us, it's a healing for us to not sin again. To not sin again, to not go into the same thought that we were delivered from. It's huge. So I wanted to read in John 15, starting at verse 1. It's a little bit of reading. I'm sorry, John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. I tell you what, have you ever, think about when, who was the last elder to come? Dan and Brian. Did you have an anticipation in you that something was going to happen when they came, because it was going to be a stirring of the waters? It could be an opportunity for whatever prayer I had to go forth to God to be answered. You know, even though we can have that with PK, but you know, sometimes it takes the elders coming to visit sometimes. Okay. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. So it takes an angel to do this. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in there, in that case, he said to him, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? Sometimes we're asked, what hinders you? We have an opportunity to have the thing that's stopping us from progressing in God to be removed and for it not to be there anymore. Then the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took upon his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus therefore said unto him that was cured, or the Jews said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry the bed. But I'm looking for the part. Okay. It was a lot of reading. skip down to verse 13. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. And a multitude being in that place, afterward Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. So when we have had sin revealed in us, and we're being healed from this sin, then we can't sin anymore in that manner. If you think about the house that's swept and garnished, you know, the Lord is doing all of these great works for us, causing us to walk in a mind of peace that we've never known before, because we've had so much calamity in the mind. You know, I don't know if you guys ever had like a bunch of depression, anger, just thoughts that wouldn't leave you. And because of the word of God, he calmed those seas in your mind and caused you not to have fear and not to think on those things anymore. Sometimes we can go, I kind of like the distraction. I kind of like the drama. Some do. Some go right back into those thoughts. But I would say enjoy the peace, because in that peace, is where we can hear the word of God. In that peace is where we can receive the word of God and allow it to go into the heart and really make a change in us. Because we could say a lot of things, but until we allow the word of God to begin to change our nature of who we were into the new man, into the new woman, you know, it's all just fluff. So when we have a lot of distractions, we tend to make more empty promises, don't we? But what if God comes and he heals us and those distractions aren't there and we can actually hear the word of God and be faithful to it and allow it to guide us, allow it to speak to us instead of all the voices in the world? I think that's amazing because it holds us accountable for the word of God that we've heard, that we received. You know, years ago when we were in other churches, you can go and you can hear the preacher preach and you could get fired up about the word of God. But was it truth? Was it something that was intended on bringing a healing to your soul? Was it a word of God that was intended on sanctifying you and separating you in the mind? Not here physically, that'll manifest. You know, as God changes the heart, you know, our desires even out here be different. We're just not drawn to the same things. And so you will just do it yourself because that's the nature that you're being changed into. So it's pretty cool because before, when I was younger in church, I used to think, well, I have to quit this and quit that, give up this and give up that, stop cursing, stop drinking, stop this, stop that. But as God changes our minds and our hearts, and we realize that we are becoming his representatives even here, and we just don't do the same things we used to do, do we? It changes us. But it changes us not by a law. It changes us by love. We do it because we now love God. We have a relationship with God. And I think that was very important, the things that PK has been teaching about the prayer, because the prayer puts us in direct communication with the Father. So when we know in our mind that we have a direct communication with the Father, then that's a relationship that's forming. That's a relationship that's building. That's a relationship that Jesus was showing his disciples the whole time, that he and his Father was one. And in the prayer in John 17, he prayed that because him and the Father was one, that he prayed that we would be one in them also. And when we believe that we're one in the Father, that he is gathering us together to be one people, then that changes our communication with God. That he's not this entity that's far away and I can just do what I want and think what I want and say what I want. The Father is right here in our presence. Right here in our presence. And that's just cool to me. That changes a lot of things. For me, I think before or maybe after me and Evelyn first got married, when I used to drive around with my music blasting, I still drive around with my music blasting, but when I passed a church, I would turn it down. That's pretty carnal. That's bad, bad. That's bad. I'm thinking God is he's way up there. You know, I don't want to disrespect. And it's easier for you to do whatever you want to do when he's afar off from you, isn't it? You can do whatever you want. But on Sunday, let me act right. Let me act right on Sunday. And then driving out of here, I got like a 10-15 minute grace period where I got to hold on to the things of God. You could cut me off if you want to. I'm going to try to hold it down, you know. But that 16th minute, you're going to get my window going down. But that's how funny. Look at what God has taken us from, thoughts like that, from God being so far from out of us that now God is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. In us, guys. Can one of you guys get that John 17 and verse 20 and 21? Luke 17. Thank you, Patty.
Yeah, and when he had demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you."
Is where?
Within you.
Within us. The kingdom of God is within us. That is so awesome. That is so awesome, because the thoughts of the Pharisee that was sown to us our whole lifetime put God outside of us. Put him outside of us. And he's revealing to us all of the time that he is in us. He is in us. His kingdom is in us. I think it's John 14, where Jesus speaks about preparing a place for you, that where he is, that you will be also. So as we're going through this learning and we're hearing this word and we're being raised up, a place of God is being prepared in us by Jesus, by the word, in his kingdom. So just good stuff. Let's go to John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. It says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting Jesus." They was tempting him, that they might have accused him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone. And a woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself, said, "None but the woman," he said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned you?" She said, "No, no man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The forgiveness of God that comes to us, no matter the sin. And we may say, "Well, you know, I've done some really, really bad things. You just don't understand. He can't forgive me of this, or he can't forgive me of that." And that's just not true. It's not true. There's nothing that will surprise God, about the wickedness that's in the heart of man. So when the salvation of God comes to us, it is to forgive the sin, but that we sin no more. So when we're being healed of things, have you ever heard a word of God and the elder said, "Do you believe what I just told you?" You're like, yeah, I believe it. And then when they leave, thoughts come back, and then you stop believing what you were told. And then when they come back and revisit that thought and come to find out, you reverted back to the thing that you were healed of. Anybody ever did that? Anybody ever forgot a word of God that was given to them that healed them? For sure. For sure. But God is faithful. We serve a loving, merciful God. God is faithful. If we look at what he has brought us from and where we are now, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So when we're being healed of these thoughts, man, it's for a purpose. And it's for us to not sin again. One more scripture, maybe. Maybe. John 15 and 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. That oneness again. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So we can't clean ourselves up. We can't heal ourselves. We can't say, you know, I don't know about what you're saying, or I don't know about what so-and-so's saying. And, you know, when the Pharisees was like that, you know what Jesus told them? Nobody knows. He said, physician, heal yourself. If you don't need me to heal you, then heal yourself. You don't need me to make you clean. Make yourself clean. And that's what the Pharisees did, didn't they? They cleaned the outside of them. But inside, they were what? Full of dead men's bones. Full of dead men's bones. And that's not what Jesus is saying to us right here. He said, we are being made clean through the words which he's speaking to us. Through the words is being delivered to us, we're being made clean. And we have to be careful to not judge ourselves as, I don't know if I receive what was said because I still have all of these other thoughts in me. Just continue to stay where God has you and he'll do the work. Pastor Gary says all the time, just sit at the table. While the Lord is preparing us, and all of the enemies that's around us cannot touch us as long as we stay at the table, stay where God has us. So sometimes we may say, well, the darkness is still there. Yeah. But if we stay faithful to the word that's been given to us, could the darkness affect us? No. No, it can't. It cannot. So the thing that that we have to remember, and I'm going to read Luke. Luke 11, 24 and 26, even though we read it, we talked about it. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits which were more wicked than themselves. And they enter into him and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So we started off with it. And we started off talking about the healing. We started off talking about God purging us. When we receive this truth, we have to be careful to fill the house of God, who we are, with his word. We have to fill it with truth because something else desires to enter into that place that's been cleaned in us. Jesus Christ, he said it. You have now been made clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. So if we're believing this and we're being made clean through the word that Jesus is speaking to us, we have to stay connected in the vine. I can't think that I could go out and go somewhere else and still produce the fruit of God. It just doesn't work. What is that fruit called? Dead fruit. Dead. Dead is carnal. It's no life to it. Can you imagine all of us in this room and online, and God has brought us into the vine? We're all branches that God brought into the vine, and we're hearing his word, and we are enjoying being made free of the sin that once held us captive. And then we say, you know what? We take a thought and say, well, I just want to break off and go over here and do my own thing. Does the grace of God still continue? Does everything that you were getting while you were connected in the vine, does it still work? No, not at all. So we have to stay connected in the vine. It's important for us to stay where God has us, because the lust in us may want other things. The lust in us may tell us we deserve other things. And so we have to be careful to not listen to that, to not be drawn away out of the body. Like 1 Corinthians 6 speaks about, that all sin is done with outside of the body. So if there's any sin that's going to be done, you're not doing it in the body of Christ. It ain't going to work. It manifests and it has to go out. So we want to stay connected in the body of Christ. And what I like about our church, whether it's Chicago, Visalia, or Boise, is that we have a very intimate setting. And we could talk about true matters of our heart with the elders and with one another without worrying about being judged. You know, so our churches, it's not about tradition. It's not about the tradition of man. It's about saving the soul that was lost. It's about allowing God to break the curses that worked in our families for generations. And I think that's amazing. My wife and I used to talk about this all the time, and how she's different from her siblings. I'm way different from my siblings. And we've been brought together. And now the both of us has an opportunity to allow God to break the curses that's worked in our families for generations. That we can see that people that we love and they're still in it. You know, imagine having people that you love that are still in the curse. God is working on your heart. He's bringing salvation to you, and you can speak a word to them that could deliver them out of that curse if they can hear it. Sometimes we could be so selfish, like I was saying earlier. We think, well, I can do this, and I can go over here, or I deserve this or that. But what if you were the one chosen in your generation to help break a curse? That's powerful right there. That is powerful right there. So it's just like the prayer. We're not just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about one another. Just like it's the love of God that's beginning to work in us when we think, okay, God, I'm putting it all out there and letting you reprove, correct, instruct, whatever's needed in order for the will of God to be done for all of those that I love. It's pretty cool because it takes us from out of ourself and how Dan said, and we become more kingdom minded. We're thinking about the need of the kingdom versus the need of me or the desires of me.